Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Monday afternoon, just a little bit after 2 o'clock. Running a little behind today, but that's all right. So it's time for Making Moves Monday right here on 103.7 The Beat. I am your host, Jen Ross. Good to be back with you all again this week. And just shout out to everybody who is not dragging today. Lord Jesus, we thought you was coming for us in the middle of the night, Lord, because that thunderstorm was something else, just shaking houses and stuff. So needless to say, I'm sleepy. But I just want to shout out everybody that's just making it through the day, because I know a lot of y'all are missing some sleep from last night. Before we get into the show today, I want to talk a little bit about the Juneteenth celebration that's coming up. That's going to be June 17th, 18th, and 19th. Right at Mona Lake Park. The bigger part of the celebration is going to be that Sunday afternoon. We're still working on a few things, but it's going to be a great time. So make sure you put that on your calendar and everybody can come out and attend. And it is going to be a family event. So bring the kids, you know, bring your granny, your mama, your uncles and brothers and sisters and everybody. So it is going to be a family event. We want to make sure everybody comes out and that this Juneteenth celebration is, you know, bigger and better than it was last year. You know, shout out to 103.7 for doing Juneteenth back in the day. You know, actually it wasn't that long ago. I think 2017 was the last one that the radio station produced and put together. And I was able to volunteer at that. And then, you know, a couple years ago, you know, wanted to bring it back, bring back a Juneteenth celebration. So it's happening. It is happening and everything is coming together real nice. But I do want to, before we go any further, give a shout out to the sponsors so far. So I know, you know, in the last 2 years, we've had a lot of community help. Like, this has definitely been a community project. You guys have been awesome. Everybody has come through, you know, with donations and whatnot, volunteering your time, whatever the case may be. So this year will be no different. We are working on a type of electronic payment, though. I know before we used mine, but I got a lot going on, so I don't want to mix up no money. You'll never be able to call me janky. Okay, so I want to give a shout out, though, to our bigger sponsors that have come through. So far we have Webb Chemical, we have the Mark Doc, we have a partnership with Muskegon Area District Library. They'll be providing children's activities for that Sunday. We got my friends at Country Cooking, my friend Brianna T. Scott and Associates, of course, 103.7 The Beat. The Community Foundation gave us a small grant for that. And Shoreline Staffing and Hackley Community Care have all come through so far. So I want to say, though, we're making good progress, but we got to do more. We got to do more. So if you know anybody that wants to give toward this celebration, like I said, we're working on the electronic payment, but you also can do a check. And it is a tax deductible donation. So, you know, keep that in mind. So this is a tax deductible donation. This is a community project, and we do have a fiduciary, so that we can make this tax deductible for you as far as donations go. So, volunteers too. So we'll be looking for volunteers and, vendors and stuff like that. All of that stuff will be coming up the beginning of May. And so it'll, like I said, the main celebration will just be that Sunday, but there'll be some things planned Friday and Saturday as well. So put that on your calendar. Govern yourselves accordingly. Thank you. All right. So let's get on with the show. Today, I have Mr. Marquise Childers Jr. on the show. How you doing, Marquise?
I'm doing good, Miss Jen. How you doing?
Miss Jen, good Lord.
Yeah, you okay. Miss Jen Ross today.
Miss Jen, that made me sound mature. And I'm not. I'm all I know is play for real in real life, y'all. If you know me, you know I really play a lot. So all right. Well, thank you for taking the time out, Marky, to come on the show. Look, I'm so used to calling you Mark. I'm sorry, Mr. Childers.
Oh, I'm Mark. Marky D. Hey, I'm all that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to come on the show. And you know, you know, like many other of the younger generation here in this city, You got your hands in a lot.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
So I know that you work with the group Muskegon Cheer, it's C-H-I-R. So how did you get involved with that? And tell us about it, because a lot of people don't know what they do. So tell us about what that project is all about and what that organization does.
Well, the Muskegon Community, it's an acronym, right? Community mm-hmm. Health Innovation Region. So what it is it's a state project, statewide project. It is five of them. Muskegon just happened to be one. This is part of Governor Whitmer's project to see what's going on, to do innovative work in communities. And their whole goal is to align systems to work for the people. So, and how did I get a part of that? My big mouth. I went to...
hey, it'll get you in trouble, won't it? In a good way, though. In a good way.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I call it good trouble. Man.
That's right.
So I kind of went to, they had a conference at the MAP. MATS. Mm-hmm. Let's say MATS.
Lewis McMurray. Transit. Okay.
Yeah. So I went in there and my grandmother, Mimi Rankin, had me come, and she got tired of me venting to her about all my ideas and what I see wrong and things.
And
she
said, do something.
Yeah. Yep. She said, everything that you telling me right now, you go in there and tell them the truth because you're mm-hmm. living it. And I went in there and told the truth. And to be quite honest, I've just been telling the truth ever since. I mean, but that's how I got into it, my big mouth.
and we all know, too, your grandmother, Mimi, I've known her for, she didn't remember me when from high school, but, you know, from when I was in high school, not when we were in high school together, but from when I was in high school, I was friends with Al Rankin's daughter, so... You know, I was over to the house a little bit, you know, here and there. So, but she didn't remember me from then, you know. Now, you know, we talk, you know, I love her because she's, you know, I can call her and she gonna keep it real. Okay. She gonna keep it funky. She gonna tell me what it is and what it ain't. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I know you didn't expect anything less though from her, you know, when you gripe it to her about, you know, the things that you see wrong, you know, what did you expect her to do? Right?
Yeah. I mean, she said, you're going to go in here, you're going to tell the truth, and you're going to come out with a job. And
there it is. There it is. All right. Well, that's it. And then so how many different organizations are on that or that deal with that? I was looking at the website today, and I didn't know that it was quite that many. It's a lot. Yeah.
It's pretty much the county.
Yeah.
The entire county and every system is Health West, Mercy Health. Your police department, things like that. But then you got, what is that? Community Encompass. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much all of those human services. As well as the health. It's really health oriented. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of people in the health field and all of those sectors coming together. And in that we came out with, I'm not sure if you are familiar with the Livability Lab.
Yes. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that. I know, you know, that there was a project last year that different community leaders were able to participate in with the Livability Lab. So, and I know you're active, you know, I didn't really have time at the time. And just quite, I'm going to be honest, I wasn't quite sure what I was getting into. So.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. I mean, I would love the opportunity to, you know, get involved now. My time is a little more flexible. But yeah, how what about the livability lab and what some of the conclusions were from that and projects?
Okay, so with the livability lab, that was a so pre-COVID, we had invited out everybody in person. It was over 300 people. And this is Shire work right here. I'm on the I just was on the design team for the livability lab as well. So putting that together, and we invited 300 people from across sectors. So we took it out of human services because, you know, the same people get paid to go to these meetings. So we're trying to take it out of that. And actually what we did was we took it out of that. We invited outside of health, we invited education, business, real community people who actually do real grassroots work. And actually, we just broadened it out. What I did was, the way livability came about, we went out into the community, we surveyed the community, and we actually asked the people what they wanted. So once I got the data information on what people wanted, I took it back to the Shire and said, hey, this is what people want. We've been watching Muskegon go, but somehow people feel very left out.
Oh, yeah. And
watching Muskegon go. So what we did was we invited them people in. So you have, for the first time in Muskegon County, 300 people actually sit down together who never spoke with each other but been living here and doing work for like 20 plus years. But they never even talked to each other, spoke to each other, anything. And it's just ironic how at that event, it was – for the first time we looked at people is to say that one person get affected by all of these different organizations, agencies, businesses. So if I don't got transportation, I can't get to work. You know, and then in terms, I might lose that job and my income might go down. Then I can't have affordable housing.
Right.
things like that. And then if I don't got childcare, how I'm gonna get to work? You got single parents that make those sacrifices to say, well, I could go get a job, but necessary sacrifice. I'd rather be in my kids' life to betterment my kids than and have that freedom to take care of them versus going here for 8 to 10 hours and sometimes getting mandated 12. And the employer not even thinking about how that affects. All of that affects that one person.
Yeah.
If you got to go to the hospital, childcare, transportation, all that affects one person. And in that, we went out to the livability lab and we allowed people to actually come up with their own challenges. It was out of 300 people, came out 19 teams, and it was from wheels to work to prenatal care, the expungement piece. So those expungement clinics that was happening, that was part of the livability lab. The neighborhood council, the economic opportunity group that I brought you into that you was mentioning. So just making sure that we had community people in every single thing, because at the end of the day, we want to help people.
Right. Right.
That's my personal goal.
Right. And I mean, and that's a great goal to have. And we know that it's, you know, that's something that's needed. People always need help. You know what I'm saying? And for the people that be like, well, just do better. Just, you know, it's not that easy for everybody. It really isn't, because like you said, all those factors have to come into play. You know what I'm saying? Do I have childcare? Do I have transportation? You know, is this a job that I can do? Am I physically able to work? You know, so I mean, all those factors come into play, you know, in people's everyday lives.
Yeah, it do. And that's where I'm trying to, I guess, the crossroads that conclusion I came to is, as nonprofits, we need to work ourselves out of the job to create a new one, right? Because it should be there to help people, but we should be able to help people get from A to B. Now we need to help them get from B to C, not keeping them, not having them have to go back to A so we can give them a band-aid to get to B, and then when they get again and they come right back, it's like people are a paycheck away from a crisis, and that's not good either. So how do people move up? And when they do move up in financial, let's say if they make more money at a job, then they may lose some of them benefits. You losing your Medicare, Medicaid, stuff like that. So
it costs to make money.
It costs to make money. Yeah.
It costs to make money.
Most definitely. That's true.
Yeah, but you know what too? That's also but that's again something that's realistic. You know, if I'm gonna lose this $400 a month, you know, in food care or food stamps or whatever, you know, is the money that I'm making gonna be worth it? You know,
be worth that. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, like, again, you know, like we said, that's, you know, $100 a week or whatever. Am I gonna, you know, make that cost up? You know, at a job, you know, is it gonna eat me up in gas? Like, you know, because how gas is, right? I mean, it's, you, like you said, there's so many factors that go into like everyday living that have to be taken into consideration. Yeah. So
no, that's true. Very true.
Yeah. So thank you for, you know, all you do with that endeavor and all the people that are a part of that. And you also have something new. Well, it's new to some new about it, you know. but you have a wine brand.
Like, yes.
You are a black man here in the city of Little Old Muskegon Heights, you know, because he's from the Heights. So with your own wine. So, you know, a lot of people, when they think about starting a business, that's not something that necessarily comes to mind. So how did you decide that that was something that you wanted to get into and actually take the necessary steps to get there? Can you hear me? Uh-oh, Marky, I think we lost sound. I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, there you go. Can you hear me? All right, yep, I can hear you now.
Hey, look,
yep, I can hear
you now. The beauty of live stream.
Right.
So how did I get into that? To be quite honest with you, so in like 2018, I started like traveling a lot more, being around different people and just networking. And you know, when you network and you can't just have Henny shots all day and, you know, had a Casamigos. I don't know,
dog.
Like look.
All right. Okay. You're right. Like okay.
So what I did was I actually just started to go up, venture off into trying out wines. So I used to like it, but I didn't know what I was drinking, you know? So I'm like, man, I like Moscato. I like pink Moscato. But I was like, huh, let me try this. Let me try that. And then learning to go out, eat, mixing different, putting the wines with the foods. And it was wow. Like, yeah, it was like an art type of thing for me. And in that, I just kind of, we went into the pandemic. And
so
I had
time.
I kept telling myself, I would tell my granny, I'd say, Mimi, I'm finna make wine. And she'd be like, get out of my face. And I'd tell everybody, I'm finna make wine. And people just to see how people would take it. And I was like, all right, that's okay. You don't have to believe me. I'm telling you though. And honestly, I just sat back. And when the pandemic first hit, I sat back. And I was drinking wine, and I said, it's time for me. I wrote it on my vision board.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a vision board of everything out and actually said, this is what I'm going to do. It's going to be us to lead the wines. I'm going to make this amount of wines, these specific wines, because that's what I like.
Right.
And I said to myself, why can't we own a wine? Why can't we do that? Why is that so far-fetched for us as our as in our culture to actually start venturing out and doing that type of stuff? So I was like, I'm gonna just say it. I just jumped out there. Honestly, it was like a gift from God, really. And once I jumped out there, it was like the athlete side of me was like, now we here. Now you gotta put the work in
Yeah. So you actually
now.
learned yourself how to produce a wine.
Yes, how
That's
to
what's up.
produce and everything. So yeah, I went to Barnes and Noble. You know, you want to hide something from somebody, put it in a book, right?
Right. That's what
So I
they
went to
say, yeah.
Barnes and Noble, and actually, yeah, I studied that, man. So I really had to know what was going on and knowing the foods. Luckily, I got a chef, Chef Idris. So I quiz myself with him and say, hey, do this go with that? Would you eat this with that? And he's like, yeah, nay, yay and nay. And yeah, so, but yeah, I did produce my own and actually had to go find someone, the plug, right, with the
So then
had to go find someone on that farm.
Right. So the process of this, okay, this is just so y'all know, this is not like the wine that your granny and them bring back from down south in a jug, you know. This ain't that.
Nah, this ain't
this ain't
that.
that. So what's the process like though? Because this is, you know, this alcohol is mandated or is regulated. You know, by the state. So that's a whole process too. Making sure that your licenses are correct and all of that. What how was that process for you? Was that fairly simple or pretty complex or
Well, I would say that went fairly complex, but it's the state of Michigan. State of Michigan is fairly slow. And then it didn't help that we was in like a pandemic and everything. So, and honestly, it took us a year
Okay.
with the process and from first just filling out from filing and the back and forthing all the way.
Right.
And
Making sure
that was
everything
with
good.
even with the branding, the logo, because all of that is part of the licensing too. So, but no, that process is, let me not make it seem like it's just a piece of cake.
Right. Well, I
It
mean,
is
a
a
year,
process.
that's not a piece of cake. That's time invested. You know, anything that you got to put a
No,
year
seriously.
into, that's time invested. So you definitely want to, you know, be able to recoup your time, your money. So you're out there now. So you have an event coming this weekend?
Yeah, we got a pop up. We having a wine pop up event, and I'll be messing with my grandmother. Like, you know how on Step Brothers they had the Catalina wine mixer. I'm like, this the Estelita wine mixer. But it's April 15th and 16th, this Friday and Saturday. I hope I got them dates right. And
You
it's gonna
do.
be at the Connection Hall. Cool. And it'll be at the Connection Hall. And on that day, I'll actually the website will be up and everything. So then you will be able to actually order off the website, and we will do delivery to you. So
Well,
shipment
your
will
granny
be.
already on it because she forwarded me a Google form and said, order it here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I'll be there Friday or Saturday to pick mine up. But
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
she,
mandatory.
right. For sure. For sure. So yeah, she on it. So I guess people can pre-order though before. I mean, they can pre-order now though, right?
Yeah, you can actually go to the Estelita Wine Facebook page,
Okay.
and the form is right there on there, and you can click on there, pre-order. Everything's on there listed.
All right. All right. So what are the times for the event this weekend?
Where's my where's my publicist?
You supposed to know too now. Shoot.
But I got what Friday. Friday is an afternoon, so that would more so end at like 7. Let's say 3 to 7. And then Saturday, I believe it's from 1 to 7.
Okay. Close enough, I think.
There we go.
If you're not sure, just inbox.
No, I'm not sure, but yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty, it's on the flyer, and we would definitely keep sending that out. And
okay.
She actually caught me. She actually drugged me out from making more wine, so I wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you got, I really hope that you are able to sell out this weekend and that everything goes, you know, great for you. I can't wait to try out the new batch. I got, I got some like over a year ago when it was just in the beginning of production. So as a sample, so I appreciate that, Yeah, I appreciate that. Congrats again, young man, out here doing big things. And keep up the good work. Anything else you got going on that you want to tell the people about before we close out?
This is what I will say. I'm not one that's just going to complain about situations and things. So with that being said, the economic group will, we have two businesses that are coming here to Muskegon Heights. This is like, Jen knew this, but it's probably breaking news for some. And that is Makers Studio, M-A-K-H-E-R Studios. And that is a Black woman out of Atlanta, Georgia, who repurposed shipping containers into creating into whatever you want it to be.
Which when you go down south, for people that don't know, when you go down south, and then we've also seen some businesses pop up around here that are made of shipping containers. Mm-hmm. It's very cost effective. It's especially with the cost of materials right now, it's like a whole lot better than trying to build from the ground up. That's if you go down south, you see a lot of buildings and businesses made from shipping containers, and they look nice. Like you can't even really tell that that's what it is. So,
no, seriously, it is though. And the compliment that we got Global Battery Solution, which is Miss Chris Hunter, out of Holland. And what they do is, I know with politics and stuff like that, we hear Green New Deal, right? New green energy, right? What the heck is that? So what she got is she, the Global Battery Solution is basically the new way of what energy is going to be. So electric cars, she provides the battery and the system for that. She repurposes batteries. And in that, they're going to be able to create a hydroponic system. Man, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good. A hydroponic system. And they're going to be able to power up them containers. So if you buy a container, you will actually be able to have power in that. And the social component to that is they're going to be growing fresh fruits and vegetables and actually providing that to whomever wants it in the community. And that way we don't have to go outside our community, right?
Right. Like we do now.
like we do now.
Yeah.
And to help out Miss Jen, not even to help out, to compliment Miss Jen's effort with the Buy Black. And what we got is they committed to actually setting up retail area made out of the shipping containers as well, so we can actually have people run their businesses there and we can start to grow. So Muskegon Heights could have a renaissance of its own versus a gentrification.
Right, so, which is exactly
and
what's needed.
Go get that Esplita wine.
Yes. 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 So again, just to, what you said about the retail spaces, I was just having a conversation in the last couple of days with someone about that. So, let's just look forward to bigger and better endeavors, period. You know, yes. So whoever is doing them, don't get discouraged because somebody else is doing it. It's needed. You know what I'm saying? It's all needed. Mm-hmm. We you know, some of us can recall a time where all of the storefronts were filled. You know what I'm saying? We know that right now it's a lot of people that's sitting on property and not doing nothing with it. So, you know, this is gonna help out. We got to get this downtown area back going. We all know the road's jacked up, y'all. We know this. Y'all ain't gotta go and complain every day about the roads, because we know. But at the end of the day, you also have to know that takes money to get fixed. You know, and right now, we in a deficit. So we see that some of the streets are getting fixed, and just rest assured, this was not a problem that just happened yesterday. It wasn't a problem that just happened in the last year. It's been happening. And the thing is that it wasn't taken care of as it was happening. So that's not this administration's fault. That's, you know, even not the previous administration's fault. This goes back for years. So,
Right.
All right. So y'all get out this weekend and go cop some Estelita wines. Visit their Facebook page and like it, so that you can see, you know, future events coming up and when products are available and all that good stuff. So again, thank you, Marquise, for taking the time out to come on the show today. Again, like I said, I hope you sell out this weekend, man. I love it. It's beautiful. And congratulations.
No, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. All right, y'all. That is the show for today. Coming up inside the 3 o'clock hour. I'm sorry, before I say that, y'all know, as I always say, it's collaboration over competition all the time. So with that being said, don't be scared to, you know, collaborate with other people who may do the same thing as you, something similar. At the end of the day, it's going to get both of you recognized or grow your business. So again, thank you, Marky D, for coming on today, and congratulations. And y'all go out and cop that wine this weekend. And thanks for tuning in. I'll see y'all next Monday inside the 3 o'clock hour. It's the Afternoon Jams with PA. Y'all keep it locked right here at 103.7.